This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey there! It's Richard the Mailman.
Bingo! Beach Blanket is bingo! Beach Blanket is bingo! Beach Blanket is bingo!
Da-da-da-da.
I like the music. Well, we're gonna have to make an actual theme song one of these days because, you know, I like to have a little bit of a routine. It lets me be lazy when it comes to putting these together.
Not rain, nor sleet, nor snow, nor richer. Just kidding. Definitely richer.
Bingo!
That will cause the mail not to be delivered. It's true. So I'm Josh Richer, and you know, he is the mailman.
That's me.
And if you're new here, what we do is we talk about a lot of things, and we just talk. We take a break, and then we come back, and we talk some more. This part, if you found this, most likely it's because you're watching Better Call Saul. So don't worry, we're talking about Better Call Saul for the, I'd say, the better part of this, although a lot of times while we're talking about that, we'll just veer off into anything we want. So just be prepared. But yeah, so this week, last week, we were breaking Boys, right? Breaking Sons. And this week, we're breaking Kettlemans. You like that? Huh?
Well played.
Yeah, you know. Sometimes I do that. I think of these hilarious puns, and I record them, and then I play them for the universe to just tell me it's awful.
We're gonna have to talk about your punishment later.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, that was good. Can you hear me?
This thing on?
Yeah. So, see, you can't do that. You can't do the hello, hello when we're recording via satellites. Because, who knows?
Are we recording via satellite?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works.
Isn't everything via satellite now?
Yeah, that's pretty much how... when I said it, I mean all of it.
If I make a phone call, it's via satellite.
Yes.
Thank you, satellites.
I know. When I was a kid, I you know, used to think about satellites, and I was like, they're so cool, and now it's like, they're everything.
I'm surprised they're not just constantly exploding into each other.
No, they're pretty good.
How big can Earth really be? You got a bunch of crap flying around it.
Well, have you ever seen the pictures or like the imaging of what it's like around the Earth?
No.
It's just satellite, like old satellites, just junk, like in layers.
It's like a floating garbage bin.
Yeah.
Floating landfill.
Yep. It's just growing out from Earth. No, you go.
How far away from the Earth can a satellite go?
As far
the moon is pretty far away. The moon is a satellite, but yeah, we make them really kind of tiny.
I guess, you know, the sky's the limit, as they say when they're talking about space.
Oh, it was another pun.
No, he is burning up. burning up, obviously, like a satellite that's, but either way.
Satellite.
I didn't want to go there because I hate Dave Matthews, but I almost was going to say it almost makes that song, like, bearable again.
Of course you hate Dave Matthews. Why would anyone not hate Dave Matthews? I actually sang that song at karaoke a few weeks ago as a joke. And I actually had people booing me. It was great.
They didn't get the karaoke, right?
No, they got it. They were just mad because I tricked them into thinking I was actually going to enjoy Dave Matthews. And I just totally did my Dave Matthews impression, which is what I do when I go shopping. If for any reason anybody ever takes me shopping, because I only go shopping if someone forces me to go shopping.
Okay, like shopping for anything?
For anything. Clothes, food, errands. Any reason that I would be in a store, I would want to leave, and somebody is there with me, making me be there. And after like 5 minutes or so, I just start singing Dave Matthews. Because that propels them to want to hurry up and get me out of there ASAP.
See, that would only work with me post, like, I don't like Satellite, but I do like other songs off that first album. Like, I like Ants Marching, you know?
Candyman and Thing of Thoughts of a Sweet Truth and Turn by It Lost.
And I like What Would You Say, actually. I would say Ants Marching is kind of like, I don't really like it. It's just like, I'm like, oh, I remember what it was like to be 15 and hear this song. And hear that it was recorded in Providence, the version that we listened to growing up a lot. You know, that Providence, that BRU one, that live one?
Oh, right.
Yeah, that, I believe that was at Lupo's or The Strand. Is that one of those? Either way, doesn't matter. But that What Would You Say is actually a good song. I think that's like, but it's a completely different structure than like every other Dave Matthews song.
Would you say?
Yeah.
Going by the mailman. This is the mailman's show.
So yeah. Anyway, Jeff, Satellites make everything work, and you can't do that on Skype. That joke doesn't work. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I guess we'll have to do like a live. Is there like a video? Is there such thing as a video podcast?
There are video podcasts. Although if you're talking about a live podcast, like that is actually like, that would be like TV. That's what that's called.
Oh, that's
good. Yeah. So, fortunately, we're not on that. One day. So we watched Breaking Bad this week. And before we can even get into Saul, we have to go through the corrections.
Correction time.
Yeah, because you know we're always missing things, we're always getting stuff wrong because we're human, and that's just, you know, that's a part of it. So, apparently, first of all, there's a lot of Easter eggs in general that, well, actually, first, we missed Mike's little drinking thing. Like, he basically was like, it seemed like he was feigning alcoholism or using alcoholism as a way to lure these guys into killing him.
Well, it didn't seem like it. That's actually what he was doing.
Well, then a part of me was also like, maybe Mike was also had a drinking problem that was known.
No, the point was that his son died, and then he was like, I know exactly what happened.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to carry out this murder because these guys killed my son. So the way to do that is to build up an image of an alcoholic. So you had that scene when he was when he calls Saul over to spill the coffee on the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, well, you know how I was. And the guy's like, how you doing, Mike? And he's like, well, I'm trying not to live at the bottom of a bottle.
Well, yeah. So
immediately, he identified – this is why Mike is the greatest character ever. And he kind of makes me feel stupid. And I feel like I'm going to have to stop watching this show, because if Mike can exist, then I no longer have any value, because he can do anything. He's like a genius. And he has like no fear or anything, and everything always goes right. He always sees every like little angle that comes up. And it's like, I know it's a fictional character, but still, it makes me feel really bad about myself. But the point is, this fake alcoholism thing was great because he knew that he had to get people to believe that he was an alcoholic. Because one thing, when I was watching last week's episode, I was like, this doesn't seem right. Like, Mike can't get drunk. Don't you ever, like, meet those people where you're like, this guy can, like, outdrink anybody? It's very it's very emasculating to get drunk. So if you can just drink, like, an entire bottle of whiskey, like the scene in Animal House where Bluto just drinks the entire bottle of whiskey in one shot, and he's like, oh, I needed that.
Yeah.
So Mike Ehrmantraut, he is like the perfect character that would just be able to hold his liquor. He's been a cop for 30 years, for God's sake.
Well, so, it happens. Every year you get a little bit. a little
build
bit.
Up your tolerance.
You do, yeah.
It's like Princess Bride when the guy built up his iodocaine powder poison tolerance. You got to ingest some poison little by little. And then you can defeat Vasily. It's a little Princess Bride reference for you.
I like it. Okay, so speaking of going into that, we talked about how people don't give each other gifts on St. Patrick's Day. And that's one of the things that – but that's not true. People give each other black eyes and herpes. So we're kind of there.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
I mean, I feel like St. Patrick's Day – is a good gift-giving opportunity.
I know, and we've discussed it. And one day, it's going to be that, and we'll
Think
be the ones
the
first.
Think of all the greeting card possibilities.
Well, there's already the greeting cards for St. Patrick's Day. There's greeting cards for Halloween.
That's like St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, there's greeting cards for everything. If you went to a store, you would know this.
That's true. Every time I go into Hallmark, it's like Dave Matthews is like.
If you went
2 minutes
like,
in.
If you went to Walmart for a second and just walked in one area just to go to, like, not that I'm saying you should shop at Walmart, people, but, you know.
You should shop at Target because Target is much better.
Yes, exactly. No. No, they give out – there. It's literally for everything. Halloween, there's Halloween cards that you can send to people.
Yeah, but that's – that makes sense. I mean, Halloween
no,
is –
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Neither one of them are real things.
Halloween's real.
Yeah,
St. Patrick's Day is just an excuse to get drunk. Halloween is actually a thing where people
you've
do
just
stuff.
Undone everything we've done. That's a correction right there. We were wrong.
People throw parties for Halloween. They spend lots of money to decorate their house. They want to have like a yearly people. Some people, a good percentage of people, I would say, Halloween is their favorite day of the year. So you got to have cards to, like, thank people for their Halloween parties and for their hospitality on Halloween and say, congratulations on winning the Halloween costume contest.
That is true. However, it's not – it's it. No one was ever like, hey, we really – I want to send a card to all my – I want to have go to my list of people that I send cards to, and I'm just going to go out and send everyone – my Halloween cards. It's just weird.
Do you ever send a mass cards?
Yes. Well, I didn't. I helped, but Christmas 1 year.
You helped send Christmas cards?
Well, like, I helped pay for them, and I believe I had to put the cards in envelopes and seal them and all that stuff, but yeah.
Did you ever send a mass mailing of thank you cards?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah.
You're not sure if you did?
No. I believe so.
Do you have something that you feel really guilty about? That you wake up in the morning and you go, you know what, I'm going to rectify that situation. And you fall asleep at night and you go, I never rectified that situation. I feel really guilty about it. And it just keeps building and building day by day, year by year, until you finally realize, you know what, I'm a scumbag.
No.
Oh, okay. I guess it's just me.
Why? Did you ever send a mass Christmas card? Or
no, I. There have been several.
Where occasions. Are we going with this? Is this your regret that you're?
Yes, I regret.
But
I
you're
am,
a mailman. You
I
know how
terrible,
it all works.
I'm a mailman. I can. I have like all the facilities at my disposal to thank people on a mass scale, and I never have. I'm terrible. I never sent out thank you cards for my graduation. I never sent out thank you cards for my Eagle Court of Honor. I got Christmas
Eagle
tips.
Eagle Court of Honor.
I am an Eagle Scout.
I know. But thank you for going to my Eagle Court of Honor. Is like if you. I'm glad you didn't send out cards for that. Because I would
Gosh,
no longer
people don't
respect
just go.
You.
People don't
I wouldn't
just
respect
go.
You.
People don't just go to your Eagle Court of Honor. They go and then they give you money.
Oh my God. What a racket.
I made like $300 on my Eagle Court of Honor. People come and they give you like anywhere between 10 to the cheaper relatives.
My mind is blown. If I had been Eagle Scout, none of that would have happened.
Well, you got some cheap family members then.
Yeah, plus we would have never thrown a party for it. What?
It's not a party. It's an event that is totally – that takes place in the institution of Boy Scouts. But if you make Eagle, you get a ceremony, and you invite people to it.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
You're glad that you can't put Eagle Scout on your resume like I can?
Yeah, I am. Because I feel like they would look at me then and go, oh.
Welcome to this latest episode of Richard and the Eagle Scout.
Okay, so besides all that that we missed, we also missed some Easter eggs.
What are you talking about Easter eggs?
Easter eggs are little things that they leave you on in video games, shows, things like that, that reference other things. And that you kind of don't, they most of the time they don't just, you know, like say, oh, look over here, look at this thing. You kind of have to notice it.
Right.
You know? Some of these that I saw online were like kind of like, well, duh, like that was right out in our face. Like someone mentioned, I'm going to go through the episodes, and you know, a lot, so the ones that I'm going to mention we didn't point out on shows and our past episodes, except for one, which was when he saw the suit and the color, the orange shirt. But that was obvious. That was like, that was a little bit more than an Easter egg. That was kind of like, hey, everyone. Arrow, flashing. Yeah. Okay, so episode one. They mentioned the Cadillac that he pulled up to when he pulled up to the courthouse.
Right.
Okay, that was pretty obvious. The next one, though, was when they viewers saw a home address on a close-up on a letter, and it's on Juan Tabo Boulevard. That's the street where Gail lived.
Oh.
Yes.
So how is that?
It's just building. It's helping to paint a little picture. Like, hey, did you remember seeing, like, do you remember that Gail lived on Juan Tabo? Where that's where this is. It's Gail Street. Get an idea of the ABQ. Next one. Okay, so the guy dangling from the billboard that helped
Saul.
Jimmy McGill. Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy McGill.
When can we start calling him Saul?
I guess we can't. We're going to call him Saul, and we're going to call him
Jimmy.
Yeah. That man that he was saving, he was actually one of the clients that he was appointed to represent in the courthouse.
Oh, so he was in the show before the episode?
Yes.
What was he on trial for?
I don't remember. It doesn't say. But they actually had to fly the guy in. He's a stuntman. They had to fly him in just to film the courthouse thing. Like, it was like, it became a project for them to do that.
They can't find a guy who can hang from a utility belt.
Apparently not.
I could do that. I'll do that for like $100. You know why? Because I'm an Eagle Scout and I went rock climbing.
That's true. See, I hate rock climbing. Another reason why it just wasn't cut out.
Why would you hate rock climbing? It's so fun.
I don't like heights.
You don't like heights?
No. I'm afraid of falling. So this isn't about my fears, Jeff.
So when we move to Mars, when we migrate to Mars, you're not going to go? Because Mars is really up there.
Fuck Mars.
Okay. You're just going to chill out on Earth. Where
I'm going to fall off Mars.
The Walking Dead virus is taking over everybody.
No, because I've watched The Walking Dead. I can live in that life.
Your fear of heights is so great that you'd rather live in The Walking Dead than on Mars.
Yes.
Kudos, my friend.
Plus, it's not really the fear of heights. It's the not being able to breathe, any of that stuff.
Yeah, I guess Mars would be pretty terrible.
But anyway, so in the third episode, Nacho, when he goes to place the phone call to warn the Kettlemans... Uh-huh. There's graffiti on the payphone there. It's got the tag JPI, capital J, capital P, I.
JPI.
Jesse Pinkman, most likely.
Why is that Jesse Pinkman?
Because he's an idiot, and that would be totally the one that he would pick for his tag.
Wouldn't he pick Captain Cook?
No. No way. No, because first of all, a tag's supposed to be smaller. Less letters, the better. Like,
why not KAC or something like that?
C-A-C. Well, this was also 2002, right? 2001, 2002. So He probably wasn't cooking at that
point. How about chili pea?
No, but that came with the cooking.
Okay, so Jesse Pinkman is a graffiti artist.
No, he's just a stupid kid that goes, yeah, man, I wrote my tag on that payphone.
Bitch.
Bitch, like he's that guy. Really, when it comes to deep down, we love Jesse, but I'm just like, Jesse's like the most irritating individual, especially in the beginning. He's like everything I hate, like that when I'm walking around, I see that guy, I'm like, ugh, that guy. Why do you exist, that guy?
We could do a whole show on Jesse, because he was just a facilitating character.
He was.
And he was actually supposed to die in the first season of Breaking Bad. And all of a sudden, just because Aaron Paul is charming, he becomes like this sort of well-rounded intellectual character who can make like the world's best meth on his own in a cook in a lab in Mexico. Doesn't make any sense, but it happened.
C'est la vie. That's what I say.
Here we are. Here we are, the Richard the Mailman, talking about the show.
Talking about all the things he does, his stupid tag, and then
Chili P is my trademark, and then you fast forward to a year later, because let's not forget the show didn't take place over 5 years; it was like 2 years or less.
And he's yelling at like Badger and them, like.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he's like this
science
like, genius businessman.
Okay, one last thing. They pointed out the old scheme, the Juan Valdez dump and pump there, or whatever they called.
What?
When they spilled the coffee and then they stole the book.
Okay.
In the last episode.
Yeah, right.
They pretty much said it's the exact same scheme that they used on Jesse with the ricin.
The cigarette, yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go. That was the stuff. Our researchers also checked out your numbers on your story that you told us last time about when you're going to kickboxing. Uh-huh. And they're just saying it doesn't add up. I'm not saying I don't believe you, but yeah. So maybe you misquoted them. That's what I'm thinking. Because it sounded like it. I mean, it would have seemed like a short amount of time, but I don't know. So
I run fast.
I know you do, and that's what I told them. But they're like, well, we're going by what he said. So that's pretty much it. So that brings up an Easter egg. Well, we'll just go in. Did you notice the Easter egg on this episode? Start things off.
Give me a hint.
Okay, so when we open up the episode, we're still with Mike and at the police station, and they got the wall of most wanted people.
Yeah, I
there.
Actually rewound that scene to look through those most wanted guys. I didn't recognize anything.
Okay, so one of the guys ended up later when Saul was at the diner talking to the Kettlemans. The guy in the bathroom with the long goatee beard shaved.
Oh, the guy who bumps him and he's like, "Hey,
yep, he's a wanted guy." And some viewers pointed out that he actually is one of the guys that helps them build the magnet.
Wow. That is crazy. Like, you really have to be a fan to recognize that.
We should get one of these guys on our show.
Yeah. Because we pretend to be experts, but really pretty much we just watch the shows and kind of, like, wax philosophical about them. We should get a guy that, like, knows all the actors' names and has all the scenes memorized and, like, knows where Vince Gilligan was brought up, whether or not he's religious. Let's find one of these guys. But he can only speak when spoken to.
Yeah, because you don't want that guy just, like, talking to us.
Yeah, just, like, totally numbers, like, no opinions necessary. Leave that to us.
So let's start with the open then. Let's just get into it. My first thought was like, it's funny because they're doing like a good cop, bad cop thing. Because Mike's a good cop, but he's also a bad cop. And then you've got a cop that's playing a bad cop. You know, like that guy that's like yelling at him and in his face, the young rookie. And then the other guy, his friend, is playing good cop, but by playing good cop, he's being a bad cop because he's giving a guy a pass.
Right.
I'm like, and then I just went, man, the police are just, there's no fixing that. They're just going to always be corrupt.
Yeah, it was sort of a Wire-esque type scene.
It was totally that.
You know, The Wire was all about institutions, whereas Breaking Bad is all about free will, determinism, choices, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, this season is kind of about institutions, and it's also about, it's about free will, but it's about, you know, just because people are basically up against institutions here. We've got the Hamlin company, Hamlin whatever, and McGill. Should know that by now, but I don't. Not gonna. They're a pretty big institution for Jimmy to be overcoming, essentially.
Yeah. I think that this episode, which is kind of like a epilogue to last week with the whole reveal about what happened with Mike and his son and everything and how Mike becomes Mike. It's just kind of a throwing back to Breaking Bad, where the entire series is just going to be every decision that is made is going to affect the future. It's all about consequences.
That's true. It's true. I mean, there was a lot of that this week too. Like the consequences, people haven't accept that, essentially. Mike didn't really have to. It's funny because Mike doesn't have to accept the consequences of killing those cops. They had the consequences of them killing his son was he killed them, but Mike doesn't get his.
Right, but
until the end.
I'm not talking about from a moral standpoint. I'm talking about from a thing. What happens in the future? So the cops killed his son. He killed them.
Now Mike's a criminal.
He moves to Albuquerque.
Now he's a criminal.
And now he's going to go to then he sees the veterinarian because he gets shot. What if he never got shot? He never would go to the vet. The vet is obviously going to set him up with Gus and all that stuff.
I'm hoping. I hope we get to see more of the vet.
Same thing with Saul. If he hadn't taken the money, if he had just told the Kettlemans to go fuck themselves, then he could have, you know, he wouldn't have had the capital, but he could have gotten into the elder law some other way.
That's
he could
true.
Have had a nice, honest practice, but now he's going to be sucked into all the things that eventually turn him into the dirty lawyer that he ends up being.
Well, that's kind of like when I started thinking about this episode, I'm like, and I know we're going to talk about the same things all the time because it is character development, but it's this idea of him being bad. Okay, being like a morally corrupt person and then making choices or something. We don't know how. They haven't alluded yet to exactly how he got pulled out of being Slippin' Jimmy. We just know that it was pretty much because Chuck, pulling him up or doing something that convinced him to be a lawyer. And that up until the point that we start the show, while he's a little shiesty, because he's got that shiestiness in him, he's trying to kind of live up to the standards that Chuck has laid out. You know, like, what is a good lawyer, and, like, all of those things. Eventually, we're going to see him make that turn to end up as Saul, and in a way, I'm kind of bummed. And I think that's a beautiful part of this arc now, and that knowledge that we're going to see it, it's going to be very sad to see him become that guy he used to just love when he was on the screen, be like, oh yay, it's the shiesty lawyer guy. And now it's kind of like, well, it's kind of sad to see him go downhill knowing that he actually, like, used to suck and then, like, went straight and then eventually gets pulled into it so far that...
Well, yeah, it is a bummer, but I don't think it's necessarily 100% about his deterioration morally, because what don't we see in Breaking Bad that we see in Better Call Saul?
What don't we see?
Right. Jimmy. Wait, not Jimmy. What's his brother? Chuck.
Chuck.
We don't see Chuck in Breaking Bad. So Chuck is obviously going to die.
Oh, I hope not.
No, Chuck is going to die.
He's gonna die of electric disease.
He's gonna stay out in the sun too long and burn to death. And that can make Saul a sympathetic character, because sometimes the one thing that you care most about goes away, and it's like, all right, well, all bets are off now.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's possible Chuck doesn't die. He, like, they have a falling out, and he disowns him, which is really sad.
Either way, I think it's kind of clear that he loses Chuck along the way, or he alienates him. That's what I'm kind of wondering. Is it something that Jimmy does that keeps Chuck away from him? But I guess that's what the point of the show is. Just kind of,
I'm guessing.
To kind of get there.
Let's face it, Vince Gilligan is a big softy.
Yes.
Deep down, he's a big softy. He let Jesse live. So I think Chuck's going to die, and Saul's just going to, like, try to make as much money as he can. Or maybe what we saw from Saul in Breaking Bad wasn't, like, the real Saul. Maybe he was always, like, once we got to that point, he was under the thumb of Mike and Gus, and there's nothing he could do about it. He's just kind of embracing it, you know what I mean?
I think that's a good point, too, because that's kind of how he is, even with Nacho, in a way. Like, he's kind of
What happened to Nacho? I thought Nacho was going to rob the Kettlemans. All of a sudden, Nacho's gone.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious that now that the Kettlemans are what, you know, they're done, I'm pretty sure we're going to see Nacho again. There's no way not to bring him up, because we know he gets involved in the drugs. Mm. So, we're going to see Nacho. The question is, what happens to Nacho? Because Nacho ain't there when we get to Breaking Bad, but Tuco is. And Nacho's smart, so he's either dead or he somehow ended up in jail. And there's so many opportunities.
And this is the fun part about watching a prequel, because if I were writing it, I would say, hey, once Saul gets all this money, because he has this omniscient character, Mike, that can do anything, and he gets the money for him, why doesn't he call up Nacho and say, here's a bunch of money, and then I'm gonna go move away and change my name and take my weird brother with me and live happily ever after?
Well, because he's greedy. Or, as you said before, maybe he just can't get out at that point.
Yeah,
it's funny you said Mike, talked about Mike in that way, it made me just go, you're basically saying Mike is like a golem. You know, like a Jewish golem. Golem. Is that how you pronounce it? The wooden thing that, like, it's like a wooden, like, soldier creature that, like, you can control, and he goes out and, like, kills the people you want to kill. And you never heard of this?
No.
Oh, okay. Look it up.
You lost me.
Look it up. But either way. You're like,
breast high above the clouds, no restriction. I'm sorry, are we shopping?
So he was basically just describing a satellite, huh?
Are we talking about a folklore type thing? I don't.
Okay. Anyway.
Television, we bounce from the world. I don't even know what that means. It's like the worst song.
It is the worst song. It is. It's. We don't got no time to talk about no Dave anymore. Chuck, though, acclimating himself to, like, I'm watching it, I'm like, so Jimmy's like happy for him, but is he happy for him because he thinks he's gonna get sane, or is he happy for him because just because he's happy for, like, what is it there? Is he happy because he, like, well, Chuck can, like, start to go out a little bit, and he's, like, breaking, he's kind of, like, shaking this whole insanity off?
Imagine if you had a loved one who had this affliction.
That would never happen to me.
How would you feel? I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Well, it was really
beautiful. It's a very hopeless, depressing thing. It's like having somebody, it's like loving somebody who has Alzheimer's.
Well, I think the issue is, or not really the issue, but the thing that I'm was more saying is, Jimmy's an actor. Jimmy Saul Goodman.
Uh-huh.
McGill. Is he feigning this happiness? What, like, is it genuine?
It's genuine, yes, of course. He wants his brother to be normal, and he thought for a long time that this was going to be his relationship with his brother. He thought that for the rest of his life, he was going to have to sneak crap into his house and put his cell phone in the mailbox because he's batshit crazy.
Luckily, he's not going to have to, because Chuck's going to either be dead or committed.
He's going to be something.
Or hate him.
Also, I'm starting to hate Chuck. I don't know where I'm supposed to be as an audience. I don't know what, like, the portrayal of this character is supposed to be sympathetic or not.
Well, I think so.
Maybe I'm just a bad person. But I'm starting to hate Chuck, and I wish he'd go away.
I don't think that's happening, obviously, because, you know, Saul McGill left him the you know, he left all his files there.
I'm starting to build up a tolerance to electromagnetic fields.
But
much like when you take poison to build up a tolerance to poison. Like, oh my god, he's so annoying.
I know. But don't blame
diary.
I'm not blaming Chuck for that. I'm blaming
I'm blaming
whoever is continuing to write the storyline to be as like the most generic, like someone's crazy, but also this, you know, like they're just taking like a really easy, boring route.
What happened to Mark McKeon from Spinal Tap? He plays this amazing character, Nigel, and all of a sudden,
now he just
he's just always just like an annoying gay guy.
I know, you've already said this. This is a redux of another episode about him being a. I do it too.
Oh, of course, I'm reduxing because that's all I ever see. Every time I watch an episode, I'm like, all right, we get it. He's really, you know, articulate, and he knows the law, and he's totally going to do all those reports that Jimmy left on purpose behind because he's smart, but he's not smart enough to figure that out. Like, how about you just take a lighter and light all those stupid things on fire because none of those old people actually care about their wills.
Well, that's what's kind of weird about Chuck, okay? So we're supposedly – it's like two things, how they're like characterizing him. One is like that he's like this really smart guy and he like – he knows the law. He's passionate about it, hence why he like sees those there and he kind of like – we get, you know, that idea of he's going to get involved now because that's what Jimmy's trying to do. He's trying to like lure him out by – making him interested or what have you.
Right.
But yet he falls for this crap. And also like he's like his craziness that he has with the electromagnetic stuff. And like, you're like no person who's of that intelligence level. Like they're characterizing them to be almost to be childlike, but at the same time, wicked smart.
Just like Doogie Howser.
Yeah. Yeah. But different. So the Kettlemans, hopefully they're out of our lives forever now.
They're not, though.
You think so?
No, I know so.
Why? Why do you think that?
Because a little thing called Facebook.
Oh.
If it weren't for Facebook, I would have watched this episode and been like, yes, finally, I never have to see Betsy Kettleman ever again.
Ruins everything.
Because there's a thing that happens when I watch movies and television, okay, where I hate a character so much, where I go through this thing in my brain where I can't tell if the actor portraying these characters are brilliant because they're supposed to be hated, or the actor is just so hateable that they're transferring their detestability to the character.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the only way to like decipher the difference is to see the actor in real life. So I've never seen the actress who plays Betsy Kettleman in real life, and that's what I'm really fascinated to see, because she's either brilliant or terrible. It's just like in Girls on HBO, Marnie, Brian Wilson's daughter. I hate her so bad.
Oh yeah.
I wish the actress would just die.
She's really bad.
But it's possible that she's the best actress in the world if the character Marnie is supposed to be hated this much. But see, Julia Roberts, I hate every character she plays, but some of her characters that she plays are supposed to be liked, and I've seen Julia Roberts in person. And, well, most, I guess. and I hate her in person. So Julia Roberts is just terrible. So that's like, where is Betsy Kellerman on the scale between Julia Roberts and Brian Wilson's daughter? Or say, I don't know, who's like a great actor that always plays a really detestable character?
Always plays a really detestable character.
But it's because he or she is a good actor, not because they just suck with Julia Roberts.
So Rob Schneider doesn't count because he's just detestable in general, right?
No, I kind of like Rob Schneider.
Oh.
I'd hang out with him.
Better you than me. Although I'm sure he would pay for drinks. Maybe not.
Who's like a perpetual villain?
Well, I mean, like, well, the thing about villains is, like, I'm trying to think of someone who's not a villain that you're like, yes, that person is, I love that villain.
Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
Steve Buscemi is, he plays characters who are bad, but he'll also have some roles where you're like, oh, I really like that guy. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do. I do. I had a couple other people in mind, like just creepy people, but I don't know their names. One of the guys was a guy in Garden State that isn't Zach Braff. That is the guy that he takes him on the journey at the end to go get his mother's ring.
Right.
And he trades like that card or that set, that collection. That guy, he's always kind of creepy.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyway, the point is I do have Facebook, so yes. Betsy Kettleman is not out of our lives because the actress who played her had some sort of interview and said something to the effect of, you won't see the last of the Kettlemans. So there's going to be some loophole on this master plan that Saul and Jimmy and Mike carried out, and she's going to come back and fuck everything up because that's how it goes in these shows, you know? Just when you think Beneke is gone, he comes back and he ruins everything for another, like, 5 episodes.
That's
true.
Like,
oh, just die already. And even when he dies, he didn't die.
Sucks. I was a dreamer right there, and you just totally crushed my dreams.
You were here first, people. Stay tuned for the return of Betsy Kettleman. She's coming back.
Because it was, like, really bad by the time at the end. But I guess that's kind of the point, because even, like, by the end of it, like, Saul was frustrated at that point of being like, you guys are crazy. Like, at first he was, like, entertaining them, but by the, like, you know, and just wanted to like, defend them. But by the end of it, he's like, you're fucking nuts.
Yep.
You're, like, you're not living in reality. You have $1.6 million. What are you going to do with it?
We're innocent. We didn't steal the money. You showed me the money, you fucking crazy.
Right?
Oh, they're so annoying. And that guy? The husband?
The husband is like the quintessential dick in her purse.
Oh my god. He's the worst.
No, I can't stand. I actually wrote down Nancy Kellerman is the worst, and then I had to write in next to it, except for Hamlin, because that guy.
How does that work? How can you be a big shot lawyer and just wear the same suit all the time? You can't even wear a different tie.
And plus, I don't understand. Like, he's just an asshole in general. Because when he looks at what's her name, Kim, and when the Kettlemans walk out after she basically explains, like, I'm. Tried to get the only thing that can do anything is if they get a deal, and he's basically like, "Well, tell them what they want." It's like, so don't be their lawyer, just go to trial, and then then you look like a shitty lawyer because you didn't try to get them a deal. And
it's like the episode of Seinfeld where they go to the bakery and Jerry gets the black and white cookie, and Elaine's buying a cake. And they buy the cake, and there's a hair on it. And she goes to return it, and the lady says, you have to wait in line. Like, no. If you just bought a cake, and you go up to the cashier and say that there's a hair in this cake, they will just exchange the cake.
Yeah.
They're not going to make you wait in line again. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
TV is bullshit, man.
No. It was – I was pretty, like, hating everyone in this whole episode that wasn't Saul, Mike.
Yeah, and Mike, not only can he drink 3 bottles of whiskey in one night and not be affected at all, but he can eat like 8 apples. He can eat 8 apples because that's how cool of a guy he is. He needs that much nutrition from fruit. Like, nobody can eat more than 3 apples. Go ahead. Try to eat more than 3 apples.
If I ate 2 apples, I would probably have diarrhea.
I can barely finish 1 apple. That's too much roughage.
It's too much roughage.
This guy is not Superman. He is a man. And he's old. He's been a cop for 30 years.
He's a god.
He's like carrying out these crazy murders. He can drink as much as he wants, like, and fake being drunk. Like, it's like an Indiana Jones movie. This show is like Steven Spielberg. I will not be surprised at all if in one of these episodes, like, there's an extraterrestrial. Oh, that's how Saul got his law practice, because he made friends with an extraterrestrial. And he was a shapeshifter, and he helped him buy the office.
They are in New Mexico, so it's actually – it's on the table. And Vince Gilligan direct – he wrote X-Files episodes.
Oh, my God. If there's any aliens in the show
– I can't believe you just unlocked the ending of Better Call Saul.
I swear to God.
And it's so funny because I wanted to say in the first, or I might have said, I don't remember at this point, in the first episodes with the skaters, they reminded me of those guys, the lone gunmen from the X-Files, the ones that got the spinoff. They were like, they looked alike, they were like twins, and like they were basically the same type of like pair as the skaters were. You know, obviously different for like the specifics in there, but... And now I'm just like, that's it. He's bringing everyone in.
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
Couple other things. Bingo, the titular line.
Titular.
Spoken by Irene, the mother of Oscar and another cat, one who's tidy and one who just won't wash himself.
Felix.
He refuses to clean himself, actually.
It was a reference to The Odd Couple. You didn't get that?
I did, and I loved that. But then I started thinking, because it's a cat, is this cat dying? Because that's what happens when cats stop, when they are not washing themselves anymore. They're dying.
No!
And then I'm like... And then I'm thinking,
a stupid joke. It was just a dumb joke.
Because
Oscar is... messy.
Yes, it was a dumb joke by the makers of Breaking Bad, but at the same time, the character, this Irene woman, I don't think she was making a dumb joke, because what we've learned on Breaking Bad is old people are invalids, and they're just, unless they're a Hector, but then he can't talk, so.
And also, old people are totally willing to kill themselves for purposes of revenge.
Yes. Irene, totally. I wonder if Irene died in that fire. No, that fire was contained in that room somehow, but
there's another Easter egg for you.
Yeah. No, and then my last thought was, so is it really, this cat actually, does it exist? Is she crazy? Are you allowed to have cats in old people's homes like this?
She doesn't necessarily live at the homes. Maybe it's a senior center. Maybe she just went to Bingo.
That's possible. That's
My
possible.
Grandmother goes to Bingo.
So it is possible that she just has a cat covered in shit.
Yeah.
All right. 2 other things, and these are actual things that I noticed in the show. When he's looking up embezzlement in the dictionary, it's right next to electricity. Like, he looked at electricity and then he went to embezzlement.
Huh.
Yeah.
See that.
And also the remote control truck. Which, if you remember from the episode where Hank and Walt have it out.
Oh, yeah. That's your
yeah. So, and that's pretty much all the things that I could see. It's like funny. You start noticing the little eggs that they're leaving you, and then you can't help. Now you're just constantly looking for them. So hopefully maybe you will see some. next time.
Maybe I will. Are you talking to the audience?
I'm talking to all of you.
Oh. I'm not good with that stuff, but I always told my dad to watch Breaking Bad. And if he watched Breaking Bad and then started watching the show, he would definitely see all the stuff. Because my dad is that guy that you hate watching stuff with.
Ah, yes.
Because you'll go see a movie, like, you've been excited to see this movie for like 6 months. You finally go see it, and then like 10 minutes in, he's like, that's the killer.
Oh, that guy.
And you're like, oh my God, why would you say that?
I'm the other guy. I'm like him, but I'm the other guy where I remember specifically going to the movies with someone. What were we watching? That movie where Josh Brolin was like a kind of like an Elliot Ness sort of guy in L.A. Gangster Squad. Was it that?
I have no idea.
Something like that. Well, either way, whatever that movie was with, it had like
No Country for Old Gangster Squad.
Giovanni Ribisi was in it. Sean Penn.
Mr. Gribber.
Yeah. Either way. This movie, we're watching it, and there was just a scene where they're doing like a thing where they're like toss. It was like one shot, you know, it's supposed to be like a tracking shot, just moving through.
Right.
And I just pointed out to the person next to me because they're like tossing guns to each other. And I'm like, can you imagine how long this took to shoot? I'm like, because all it takes is one person dropping a gun, one of these catches. Or, like, fumbling with it. And then they have to stop it and go back to the beginning.
Right.
And then she just was like... She's like, you just ruined it, the whole movie, because you made me very much aware that what I'm watching is people filming other people. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
I'm way like, to go, buddy.
I'm like, well, that's what you're watching.
Well, in a way,
that's the only thing that lets me watch horror movies, because I know that that's what it is. It's just fucking people dressed up or computer effects or, you know.
Yeah, but see, I can't get to that level with horror movies, because even though I know that what I'm watching is people making something, my brain still makes the connection that this could actually be happening. You see what I'm saying?
Totally true, yeah.
So it's not that I'm afraid of what I'm watching. I'm afraid of what I'm watching representing something that's happening.
But Jeff, you're going to die, and there's a very good possible reason that's going to happen.
I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death, Josh. It's like Stephen King. Okay, Stephen King hated Stanley Kubrick's version of The Shining. They fought about it every single day, and he kept trying to get Kubrick to change.
Like, I have read that. Which is really, really upsetting, because The Shining is a stunning movie.
Right, but it wasn't Stephen King. It didn't have much to do with his book version, like how he would have visualized it. And inevitably, he let Kubrick do what he wanted because he was the director of the movie.
Yeah.
But they got into this argument about the characterization of the main character, and Kubrick said, don't you believe that ghosts are optimistic? The existence of ghosts is an optimistic idea. And King said, no, why do you say that? He's like, because that implies that there's an afterlife. And King said, yes, but what about hell? And Kubrick said, I don't believe in hell. And King said, I do. And that's why I write all my fucking stories, because I'm afraid of hell. So I don't fear death, Josh. I fear hell. I fear torture and pain.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And that is why I have nightmares when I watch even the most tame horror movies.
So you can never watch, like, a Hostel?
No.
If no. I just mention Hostel, like, the word, are you now going to, like, do you have all these things?
I watched Saw
on wow.
the guide with the mute button. You know, like, I put the guide on, so it's, like, a little tiny one-inch square.
Yep.
And I muted it. And I watched like maybe 5 minutes because I flipped back to it, and that gave me nightmares.
Well, that's a word for people like you, and we'll talk about that when we come back. because we've been talking for a long time, but we're gonna go to a break. We're gonna come back. We're just gonna kind of shoot the shit for a few minutes, you know, just talk the turds. I don't know. I'm trying to think of. possible other ways to say shoot the shit, but
no, just the one way.
Just the one way. All right, and we'll do that, and then we'll see you guys out until next week. So come back. We're gonna listen to all the wonderful things on Place to Be Nation, and also Boneheads, because that's a thing I forgot about. And yeah, we'll see you after the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including The Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We featured The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN's also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats' RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber lover.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW supercards.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
Da 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 da. Not rain, nor sleet, nor snow, nor richer. Just kidding. Definitely richer. Da 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 da.
And welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us here. So, Jeff, what you doing your break?
Well, I felt really bad about coming off as such a nit or a ninny about the horror movie thing. So I decided to watch Saw, like, full version.
Like, not,
it was actually...
Not
it was
one
actually,
inch?
Yeah, like, full screen
gotcha.
With sound. And it was really scary, but I was kind of intrigued because, you know, they've made, like, a bunch of Saw sequels.
They've made quite a bit.
So then I watched all the sequels.
Oh, I haven't even seen all the sequels. I gave up after the third.
Yeah, And as scared as I am because of the imagery, I'm actually kind of impressed because this character is really sort of mailman-esque, you know?
Yeah.
Like he sort of abides by his own set of morals. Like if you put somebody in a situation where at the end of whatever it is you make them do, as horrific as it may be, they have a more powerful sense of self and a greater desire to live and survive, then aren't you doing the Lord's work?
I guess so. In a way, you're affecting, you're doing like a grassroots, like, saving of people, but you're also killing people too. So.
Well, you're not killing people.
Well, yeah, you are.
You're putting people in a situation where they will kill others, but you're not killing them.
That's true. Well, some of the situations involve, like, if they, to get out, they're going to lose an arm or crap. But yeah. He puts them in these situations.
Or do they put them in the situations themselves?
Oh.
I feel like the guy, the saw guy,
whatever Jigsaw? His name
is, Jigsaw, sure. I feel like he is sort of a cinematic representation of Jesus.
Oh.
Yes. I don't think people are quite getting that, I don't know what I did, but I actually watched all the movies in succession a couple times. Whilst set against the backdrop of our first segment, so I had a little bit more insight than most.
You know what? I'm gonna have to watch those again. I'll have to get past the third one.
Yeah, but... Saw 5 is when it really starts to come together.
Oh. Wow.
You can't just, if you give up after 3, then you're just lost. You're like, oh, this is just a
crummy... Well, they just started getting bad, you know?
This is just a crummy Halloween franchise. But no, it's so much more than that, Josh.
So, Jeff, when I watch this show, there's like... a lot of times I have to watch it in my kitchen when I'm doing stuff, as I've said before.
Because you're scared of it?
Yes. Also, because it's like I start watching it on at night and then I fall asleep because I put it on at the end of the day, you know. And I'll watch like half of it and take notes in the dark, so they're like the worst notes in the world.
It was like the Jerry Seinfeld, I wrote this amazing joke and I can't read it.
That's the problem. But that's why I'm one step ahead now, because at least I'm trying to write it down even when like it's dark. As opposed to before, which was when like I just wouldn't write anything down, and then I would, it'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I've had many jokes lost, like to that. Anyway, so I watch it in the kitchen. I watch it on AMCTV.com or what have you. So there's commercials, but there's just like there is on TV. Except one company decided that what they were going to do is they're going to like instead of. Like any other times you're watching commercials, they made it so that the video would stop and you'd have to click something to continue the video. So you couldn't just walk away knowing that there's going to be like 3 minutes of commercials. You couldn't just walk away, go do other things while this is running, because you have to watch the commercials. You have no choice.
Press something. You have to choose to watch the commercials.
That's why I'll never buy a Toyota.
It was a Toyota commercial.
Yeah. I'm like, you fucking dicks.
It's so reliable, though.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it became reliable about the third time that I was watching the commercial, and it stopped, and I went, these fuckers! I'm like, it wasn't just a fluke!
Yeah, it's on purpose, man.
Well, at first I thought maybe I did it, like I swiped it, you know? At the...
Why do you gotta be so negative? Why can't you respect... the ingenuity. If you were a marketing person and you came up with that idea, you would be very proud of yourself.
No. Be proud of yourself for being a dick. Like, basically what you'd have to say is, hey, how about this? We make it so they have to click, which means that they have to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
I know, but the thing is, there's an unspoken rule.
You don't have to buy a Toyota.
Next, they're going to make sure that, like, things, like, you have to, like, lock eyes with your video camera to, like, make sure that you're watching the computer while the commercials play. Like, that's where we're heading.
Yeah, but you know who's not upset about this?
Who?
The people involved with the production of Better Call Saul.
Because they made the cha-ching.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So, can we just, like, appreciate the American business end of it?
No.
Somebody's got to pay these people. If you get a cool job on a show like Better Call Saul, you're going to get paid well. You know why? Because Toyota came up with this wicked awesome idea, and they're sponsoring your show. You got to stop being so socialist about it.
It's just hard. Because then I get totally into this whole idea of, like, so that's it. That's how we've just created, like, so... The only good things that are made are like good art that's made these days. We're completely on this like whole idea. Like, we just cannot shake off the idea of patronage, essentially. Because it's just like, nope, you got to make the advertising money, which means you got to deal with these assholes. You don't like ExxonMobil and what they do? Who cares?
Give me the money. What do you do for income?
I work in customer service, and it's just horrible. And I wish I wasn't doing that.
Yeah, but the point is, you and I both, as artistic as we may be, we work for major multi-billion-dollar companies that need revenue in order to support our lifestyle.
It's funny you brought up your company, because I think about your company, I go, yeah, because that's a smart thing. What they did... is they invested when they were heading towards financial calamity, they invested all this money in sponsoring things. Like, you stupid fuckers. You can't make the service better, so people are like, yay!
Hey, we made our service better, okay? Our parcel delivery system is on par with nobody in the entire world.
It's true. UPS is the worst.
We have the greatest infrastructure.
Sorry to UPS. We might need that money someday.
Don't be sorry, because they're all jerks. They don't even wave to me in the truck.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, delivery people. We all wave to each other.
That's true. That's like well, sometimes they give you gifts like plates and food and coffee, right? That's a little joke about our common friend. All right. So yeah, you're right. But one of the other commercial, and this one just made me go, and you were talking about ingenuity and, like, engineering and, like, all that stuff. It made me go, yep, we got nothing else, because that's what these companies are doing now. They got nothing else, so they're just cycling through stuff. Did you know there's Reebok pump shoes out again?
Oh, my God, no way.
There is.
Does the pump look like a little basketball?
No, it's on the side now.
Oh.
But they're still going with that idea. We've laughed about the idea of like this shoe, like, yeah, you pump it up and then it's snug on your feet. You know, like,
why wouldn't you just make the shoe always be snug?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you need the need? Why do you have the need for the pump? No, that's not ingenuity or advertising. This is just a bad product.
Yeah, but you want to know why it's going to do well? Because a bunch of kids out there, because sneakers are a thing, are going to, like, buy these because they can't buy the original ones because there weren't enough good ones left at this point for anyone to... Like, Reebok's pump shoes in good condition have got to go for quite a bit of money just for, like, the weird kitsch factor, you know?
I thought Reebok, like, folded. I didn't even know they still made Reeboks. I thought Reebok was, like, bought by Under Armour or some crap.
And they might be. It's like Budweiser, but it's kind of like how, for all I know, it's like how Budweiser still exists, but Anheuser-Busch is now owned by a company that's in Germany. You know?
Are there any major athletes with Reebok deals? It's all Adidas and Nike now.
I wouldn't know, but as we talked about last week, it's like I kind of don't. I can't do the whole follow.
I thought you like read the Wall Street Journal.
No.
What are you in the stock market? You're a smart guy.
No.
You're good with math. You can get to the stock market.
I'm horrible at math. What are you talking about? I was always hanging on. I was always in the accelerated group, but I was always kind of like almost out of the accelerated group going into the next year. I just kind of was always at that minimum grade. Mm-hmm. So it kind of sucked. So I wasn't that good at math.
Who am I thinking of then that was good at math?
I don't know. Your Asian friend. Oh, I'm sorry. That was wrong of me.
What about Andy Flanagan? He's good at math.
Andy Flanagan's good at math, I think.
So we should sponsor Andy Flanagan to play the stock market, and then the three of us can do a show, and we can have it sponsored by a very big company like the USPS or anybody.
Oh, I haven't said where I work.
I haven't said it either. I was just throwing out a random company. You're the one who just gave it away.
I'm gonna beep them out like it's like or I did just beep them out. I just beeped them out according to all these listeners here.
We should make this a contest before the end of the first Better Call Saul season. Can you guess where Richard works? That would be a great contest.
That would. Because the problem...
We could drop little hints.
The problem ends up being is that with that is, like, I work in a way that, like, people could actually contact me.
Is anybody listening to this podcast?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Do we have any viewers?
There's zero viewers. I guarantee we have zero viewers. But Jeff, one last thing, even though we've been talking for quite some time about everything.
One last thing.
And we've now had a new contest, obviously, that's happening, which is Guess My Work. And
it's not Target. It's not the Boy Scouts of the United States.
Why'd you say Boy Scouts?
Because you already made fun of me for being an Eagle Scout.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So it's not those three things. It's not Target, the Boy Scouts, or the post office.
Anyway.
It's somewhere that you would hate. If you're a socialist, you would hate working there.
Which is pretty much like everywhere.
Right.
No, I don't hate business. It's like I don't hate places making money because they make clothes and people buy them. What I hate is the other thing. Or like...
You hate that people get paid to advertise.
Yeah. And that's become a thing. And it's gotten even worse. It's like, it's not just the advertising. It's like then people get paid to broker the money that goes between the advertising and the people that
many people. There's over 300 million people. Everyone needs a job. What do you want them to do?
There's a ton of jobs they could be doing. We could just have more people doing, like, the jobs.
Like medical jobs?
Like, yes, all of them.
I think we need to.
All these companies have a ton of money. They could be paying more people, but instead they're making more profit, so that way their stock does well. So then people who invest in the stock market, like Andy Flanagan will be, if he already is, we all know he already is, but if he's. Once we have him doing it for us, so we can, like, finance the show a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Once,
how about this? I'll talk to Andy about the financing. You just do your own thing, and we'll come to you with the sales pitch.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I like that. Yeah. So one more thing. So we talked in the. So I don't watch sports, but a news article about sports about the guy on the 49ers. What's his name? The
Chris Borland.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
The guy. Chris Borland.
Yes. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. he's a rookie and he's retiring already after one season because he's basically saying it's not worth the risk to my health.
Yeah.
And
a lot of head trauma stories now in the NFL.
Yeah, well, that's what it's about. And I clicked on I looked in the comments of the article, you know, of course, because that's where you see, like, the most impassioned arguments for either side.
And intelligible.
Sometimes, well, it's cogent. You see intelligent stuff, okay? But it's always in response to the most unintelligent thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing. I fully expected everyone to be like, this fucking guy, blah, blah, blah. And you did see a lot of that. But then most people were like, oh, good for him. He saved a little bit of money. He got like $500,000, most likely.
No.
And then I went, who would think? And then you see the people that are like, oh, you know, the fucking pussies or no heart or cowards or all these things like that. And then chiding him for how much money he could be making and how people would kill it. And I'm like, oh, these people are so. And I was like, who thinks like that? And I'm like, you know who thinks like that? Jeff Machado. That is Jeff. I'm like, it's the complete opposite of what I think. And somehow I'm infuriated when I see it on the internet, but when I hear you say that stuff and I realize that that's how you think, I go, oh, I love that guy.
How do I do it? Well, the key is if your brain is gifted enough to operate on the entire grand spectrum of an issue, then you're going to pick the one that makes actual logical sense.
Which is?
And you won't care that it might not be the most popular. You see what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
Fearless. So everything I say is right because I don't believe or care about anything. So I'm only saying it because it's right. I have no agenda.
You have no allegiance to anything but the truth.
Right.
Gotcha. Which in this case
is, you know where it is.
That this guy made a smart decision because football is stupid and it's not worth dying at 61 years old and having the last 10 years of your life be a blur.
No, it is not worth that if that's going to happen. But the problem with his stance is anybody that gets head trauma, if you do a bunch of research, then you should retire.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily true because post-career head trauma and, like, ALS and CTE, these kind of situations, they happen a lot. Even in soccer.
I know, I saw that.
I remember, and I was, like, a pioneer, because when I was a kid, I thought to myself, all this, like, heading of the ball seems wrong. Because it's, like, a ball, you don't think much of it, but I'm like, it seems wrong to just be, like, hitting the ball with your head.
Trying
to get to go really far.
Yeah, really far, and whipping the ball with your head, essentially.
Yeah, you're giving yourself whiplash,
yeah,
like a little tiny concussion every time you do it. And all of a sudden, all these soccer players are getting ALS and CTE in their later years. No, that's kind of terrible.
Well, that's good. That's more opportunities to dump water on our heads, you know?
Yeah. So when it comes to this guy, there are basically two different opinions that I have about it. One is, if he is right, and I've actually like grown weary of watching football because of all this head trauma stuff.
Yeah,
like,
Like
when I was like a 15-year-old kid watching the games with my dad, and a guy got blown up. And he, like, passes out on the field. You go, like, oh, he really got his bell rung. And it's, like, kind of cool. But now it's like, I shouldn't be watching this. I feel like a guy in the Colosseum in Rome watching a gladiator get eaten by a lion. You feel like kind of bad about it.
Well, that's one of those reasons why with football I'm kind of like, I feel like you start to feel a little bit guilty, because then you're like, oh, the NFL doesn't actually care.
The other end of the spectrum, though.
Yeah.
Is
the other opinion.
Post-traumatic injuries aren't totally pervasive. It's not like everybody who retires ends up a vegetable. So maybe you could temper your career a little bit. Maybe don't go for the crazy hit all the time. Maybe they could change the rules where there's no helmets. Because my brother plays rugby, and there's far less concussions in rugby because you're not hitting with your head, because you're not wearing a helmet.
That's a good way to do it, actually. I never thought about that. It's like it's like by not having the protection, people naturally are just going to protect themselves.
Yeah, you put a helmet on, it becomes like a weapon.
Yeah. But the problem is the protection, and that's what's fucked up about it, is that originally it was put there because of the freak incidences where it just happens, where people are playing this intense sport like a rugby or a football and they just hit heads, you know?
No, I don't think so. I think what happened was is they would get bumped in the head, so they start wearing leather helmets. And then when they started wearing leather helmets, they started being more aggressive with their head. And then the whole tackling with your head thing became a thing. And then they invented the more sophisticated plastic helmets. So I think putting a leather helmet on in the first place was bad.
I think that's good reasoning. I think that's a.
But still, even in the current state, I think retiring at the age of 24 is just dumb. I mean, be a little more careful. You know, I mean, you can still play.
Well, I think it really comes down to the risk, and that's where I think where people, when you're saying someone's a coward about it, is kind of like, well, you're coming at it from you're sort of correct in that they're basically saying, I'm not going to take the risk. But at the same time, who cares if they take the risk? It's a game.
Wait, I just thought of a third angle.
Yeah.
Angle number one, no more bullets to the head. Angle number two, suck it up. Angle number three, find a way where you can use your head for blunt force trauma and not get injured.
No, we're not going to get there, because what we've learned is anytime they make it, like they find a way, which somehow involves more rules and precautions, people just...
There's a way. Better helmets, implants, surgery, electromagnetic visors.
Okay, now I like where this is going. Yes.
We could do it, man. What, you think in Star Trek times, they don't play football? They play football. They got the holodeck. You can play football against Mean Joe Green.
That's where we need to get to.
Obviously.
Holodeck football.
This is what people keep saying. They keep saying, you know what, Jeff? You're too ahead of your time. You're like somebody that lives in Star Trek times where they have the holodeck. And there's no more work. And there's no more hard labor. And there's no more racism. And there's no more classism. And there's no more socialism. And there's no more anything except total happiness and just exploring the unknown. And that is what Richard and the Mailman is all about. And Better Call Saul.
Indeed. Well, I think that says it best, that, you know, you guys should come back next week, because there's going to be more of that.
Come back next week.
We're going to explore the universe together.
There's going to be more revelations of the true nature of existence, and also Jimmy McGill.
And also
Mike Trout.
Yeah, and all your friends. The gang's all here.
The old gang.
And also, keep hitting us up on Twitter. or Facebook or emailing us. I don't know. You can find our emails, probably. Just do that too, you know. Whatever it takes. Let us know if anybody wants to take any wagers that Jeff has laid out. And if you guys can figure out where I work.
I'll bet all you sons of bitches. First person to email me or tweet at me, at Mashad Douche or at Richard N. Mailman, where Josh works correctly, wins an unknown prize. It's probably cash, but I can't say that on the air.
Jeff, check your email.
Okay.
Because I believe someone just won.
Someone who doesn't already know.
Oh. Well, again, hit us up. I'm Josh Richer. That's Jeff Machado. And we're Rich and the Mailman. We'll be here next week doing this whole thing. So just come back.
Yeah, we don't suck.
All right, we're done. Keep a secret from the more the people.